Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, October 3rd. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on coffee and tea consumption. Let's dive right in. Today we're discussing a recent study comparing the effects of coffee and tea on stroke risk. Let's start with the key findings. Eric, what did this study reveal about coffee consumption and stroke risk?
Well, Ted, the results are pretty eye-opening. This study found that knocking back four or more cups of Joe a day cranked up the stroke risk by a whopping 37%. That's not just a small bump. We're talking a significant increase here. It really throws a wrench in the whole coffee is a health elixir narrative we've been hearing lately.
Hold your horses, Eric. We can't just take one study and run with it. Coffee's been shown to have tons of...
I get where you're coming from, Kate, but this isn't some small-scale study we're talking about. It involved over 25,000 people from 32 countries.
Okay, fair point about the sample size, but let's not forget that correlation doesn't always mean causation. There could be a whole bunch of other factors at play.
You both raise interesting points. Kate, let's shift gears a bit. What about the findings on tea consumption?
Now we're talking, Ted. The study found that sipping on four or more cups of tea daily actually lowered stroke risk by 19%. That's fantastic news for all the tea lovers out there. It just goes to show that sometimes the old remedies really are the best.
Let's pump the brakes a bit, Kate. The study also pointed out that adding milk to tea basically wiped out all those potential stroke-related benefits.
That's just a tiny detail in the grand scheme of things. The overall benefit of tea is crystal clear. We shouldn't lose sight of
it. It's not a minor detail at all, Kate. Tons of people add milk to their tea. This could seriously impact how we interpret these findings.
You both make valid points. Eric, can you break down the difference in effects between coffee and tea for us?
Sure thing, Ted. The researchers suggested that coffee's higher caffeine content might be the culprit here. Your average cup of coffee packs a punch with about 80-100 milliliters of caffeine, while tea's more of a gentle nudge with around 50 milliliters. It's like comparing a strong shot of espresso to a mellow cup of green tea.
Hold up, Eric. Caffeine isn't some evil substance. It's got loads of positive effects on mental alertness and metabolism. We can't just...
I'm not demonizing it, Kate, but the fact is too much of anything can be harmful. Excessive caffeine can send your heart rate and blood pressure through the roof, potentially damaging those delicate blood vessels.
Now you're just speculating, Eric. We need way more research to confirm that mechanism. You can't just make these leaps based on one study.
Let's consider this study in a broader context. Can you think of a similar historical event or study that relates to these findings?
Absolutely, Ted. The Framingham Heart Study springs to mind. It kicked off way back in 1948 and was one of the pioneering long-term studies that helped us identify risk factors for cardiovascular disease. It's a real heavyweight in the world of medical research.
Oh, please, that's ancient history. How on earth is that relevant?
It's incredibly relevant, Kate. The Framingham study completely revolutionized how we understand heart disease risk factors. This new study could do the same thing for how we view coffee and tea consumption. It's all about...
But hang on a second. The Framingham study didn't specifically look at coffee and tea, did it? We're comparing apples.
You're missing the point, Kate. It's not about the specific substances. It's about the importance of long-term population studies in identifying health risks. That's exactly what...
That's an interesting comparison. Kate, do you see any parallels between these studies?
Well, I suppose if you squint hard enough, you could say both studies challenge popular beliefs about health. The Framingham study showed that cholesterol and blood pressure were important, which wasn't widely accepted back then. But let's not get carried away with the comparisons.
Exactly, Kate. And now this new study is challenging our assumptions about coffee being universally beneficial. It's the same principle of questioning established beliefs based on...
The Framingham study has been validated over decades. This coffee and tea study is just one piece of research.
True, it's just a start, but that's how all major discoveries begin. This could lead to more focused studies on caffeine and stroke risk. We shouldn't dismiss it just because
it's... I still think we need to be way more cautious about drawing broad conclusions from a single study. We can't just upend everything we know about coffee based on...
Looking ahead, how do you think these findings might impact future health recommendations? Eric, what's your take?
Well, Ted, I believe we're going to see a major shift towards recommending moderation in coffee consumption, especially for folks who are at risk of stroke. It's like when we realized that too much red meat wasn't great for us. We didn't stop eating it entirely, but we started being more mindful about how much we consume.
Oh, come on, that's a total overreaction. Coffee's been part of human culture for centuries without causing widespread health issues. We can't just
but
start
Kate,
treating it.
Our understanding of health is constantly evolving. We might start seeing warning labels on coffee products similar to what we have on alcohol. It's about informing people.
That's absolutely
so they can make
ridiculous. Coffee isn't nearly as harmful as alcohol. You can't seriously be comparing your morning latte.
Those are certainly some bold predictions. Kate, how do you see this playing out differently?
Look, I think we're going to see a boost in the promotion of tea consumption, especially in Western countries where coffee's been king for so long. It's not about demonizing coffee, it's about highlighting the benefits of alternatives. We might see more trendy tea shops popping up or coffee shops expanding their tea menus.
But wouldn't that be a bit hypocritical if we're not also warning people about excessive coffee consumption? We can't just push tea without addressing the potential risks of...
Not at all, Eric. We should be focusing on promoting beneficial behaviors rather than fear-mongering. People are smart enough to make their own choices.
It's not fear-mongering to inform people about potential risks, Kate. That's just responsible public health communication. We have a duty to share this information so people
can make... But it could lead to unnecessary panic, Eric. Many people rely on coffee to function in their daily lives. We can't just pull the rug out from under them based on
that dependence might be part of the problem, though. We should be encouraging healthier alternatives. If people are relying on excessive caffeine just to get through the day, maybe we need to look
at... Well, folks, it looks like this coffee and tea debate is far from over. We've heard some fascinating insights and predictions today. Whether you're a coffee lover or a tea enthusiast, it's clear that moderation and staying informed are key. Thanks to Eric and Kate for their lively discussion, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Ted. Signing off from Listen 2.